Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Podcast, live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sitting next to me is the feed, Sean Frelick.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of had to after you filled in for me on Saturday. Nice job.
I'm a new man.
You did a great job. Did you like it?
Thank you. Yeah, I loved it. It was my first time ever on live radio, so I'm surprised and grateful at WGN, and you put in a good word.
I couldn't believe they didn't pull you off the air. No, I was listening. It was actually really good. You did a great job. Yeah, and I have to mention also, before we get into the show, thank you to Bruce Leach and DePaul for the amazing DePaul University shirt at the TechNori Showcase last month. He noticed I was wearing a Northwestern shirt, which is our alum, but he thought maybe I needed a new one, and I was going to wear the shirt for him. So thank you to Bruce for the T-shirt.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. And Sean, we were going to kind of check in with you like we normally do on the tech feed stuff, but I wanted to kind of get your take on things. I mean, you talk to tech companies now on your own in the main show. How is it different reporting on stuff versus like actually like sitting in front of them? Is there a difference, or is it easier to do one than the other?
Well, it's the difference is obviously when you're with the person, it's going to be a lot more humanized. You're just going to talk more about their personal stories. Whereas every week on the feed, we obviously do the TechNori shout out, and it's much more just objective approach, I guess you can put it, of just like explaining what the company is and what they do, and just kind of giving people a nugget of why it matters. But when you're sitting down with the person, it just comes a lot more about like the experiential.
It's hard to thrash people when they're sitting in front of you, especially if you actually like the person. It's like, oh my God, like I don't even want to say this. Here we go.
But luckily, I haven't had a contentious interview yet.
Well, we've had a couple on the docket that we were going to try to set up, but I just continue to push off on it because I just know where it's going to go. But at any rate, let's dive in a little bit. Or as you say, what do you say? Dig in, eat, feed,
dish out.
He's going to dish out some of the feed. Here we go.
Did you miss me? This is, again, Sean Frelick, host of The Feed, and I'm going to dish out top tech news with a bonus slice of weird. Chicago has a lot of debt. Moody's Investor Services downgraded Illinois to one level above junk status, the lowest recorded rating for a U.S. state. Whoa, pop a bottle, boys and girls. Illinois has made history. Illinois is the fifth most populous state in our nation and currently has $14.5 billion in unpaid bills. Maybe we can collect some revenue from street parking downtown. Oh, wait. No, the city sold that off to the banks. Not to mention, Illinois has not had an annual budget for going on 2 years now. There has got to be money somewhere. Where can we look? Video games. Yes, sweet, sweet video games. What if Chicago started putting a tax on online gaming? Oh, wait a minute. They did. Back in 2015, Chicago amended its amusement tax to include rented and streaming video games. That means Minecraft has become more expensive, kiddos. The amendment also requires game makers to charge buyers with a Chicago zip code a 9% tax. And if the maker doesn't collect the money, then they have to pay it up themselves. This is an unprecedented taxation that was lambasted by local tech leaders and startups. The pushback became so severe that Mayor Rahm decreased the tax and started dishing out some exemptions. But the issue became international this week when the Entertainment Software Association sued Chicago, alleging that the entertainment tax is illegal and discriminatory. The ESA represents Nintendo, EA, and Disney Interactive Studios. For gamers and makers and businesses in Chicago, this tax would likely be preferred dead as a doorknob. With the ESA and public outcry, death may be knocking. The thing is, Chicago and Illinois are teetering on junk, and this ain't junk in the trunk, the good kind of junk. So Illinois better avoid it. Okay, now's the time where we give the weekly TechNori shout-out, and this week's honor goes to Digital Adventures. If Chicago kids have to pay a tax to stream games, why shouldn't they just learn how to build them on their own? Digital Adventures founder Amawale Cassell is preparing kids as young as 6 for a future in STEM by letting them get to know the basic building blocks of engineering and design that mixes the left and right brain for our technological age. Man, all I got when I was 6 was dysentery on the Oregon Trail. Kids these days. If you like this segment, I implore you to watch the full version of the feed on technori.com Monday night or find it on wgnradio.com on Tuesday.
Wow. You get better and better at this.
Thanks. I feel like doing the live show has allowed me to get a little more conversational, so I try to lead with that.
Well, you're certainly doing it. And not that we have to always have you on the show when we're going to talk about connecting students and things like that and like getting resources. But I mean, we do have Curran Goyal, the CEO of Get Set, in front of us. So I figure let's start the conversation. Let's keep you in on this one. Curran, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So without further ado, we've kind of set the show up with a whole bunch of conversation random. But why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about what Get Set is? And then I'm kind of excited to dive into this because personally, I've got a few experiences that would have and could have and should have had Get Set to help me out.
Yeah, great question. So look, the origins of Get Set were really that before this, my team and I had built a company called PrepMe. We built the first adaptive learning platform. It's now used by hundreds of thousands of students each year. And we thought what we were going to do is really solve this huge problem, which was not enough people were going to college and graduating from it. And we thought, hey, if we just make their reading, writing, and math better, great. They're going to graduate college. They're going to go off and be successful. After we got acquired, took a little time off, tried to figure out what to do next, and I just started connecting with the people that we used to work with. And I said, hey, so how are those students doing? You guys had a couple of thousand students in your district using our platform. And the thing that I kept hearing back, which was really disheartening, was, well, PrepMe helped all these students go to college. You help people get scholarships, et cetera, but a lot of them still dropped out. And I just, that didn't add up in my head. And I was just like, okay, why is this happening? And literally, like a few hundred feet from here, I caught up with, I had a 1 year non-solicit on my VP of product, Eric Bierstedt. Day afterwards, I emailed him. I said, let's get together. We met at the Argo T right there. And I said to Eric, I can't figure out why so many people are dropping out. Like, we help them get better at reading, writing, and math. Why are they leaving college? And Eric said, well, what do you think? Like, people just graduate college because they're academically strong? Is that the only reason that people should graduate? And I said, well, why would they leave? And Eric really opened my eyes, and he said, look, if you want to get back together to build a better version of what we did, he said, I'm not interested. But he said, if you want to get behind the psychological reasons of why people give up, and this has nothing to do with college specifically. This is about anything in life. Why do people give up on themselves? Why do people encounter a challenge and feel that they don't have what it takes to overcome that challenge? Then I'm interested in getting in on this with you. So I said, okay, let me think about that. So a couple of weeks later, I was like, okay, I'm bought in. Let's go make this happen. And this is not a great start to a startup story, but we actually just started with a problem. We had no idea how we were going to go about solving it. So for the first year and a half, Get Set was essentially a research project. I self-funded the company to start out. It was a little scary. And Eric and I got together, and we just started trying to figure out, like, why do people leave? And one of the most fascinating things that Eric did is he got to speak to a group of students locally who'd been tracked over a couple of years. And he talked to the students who graduated, and he talked to the students who dropped out. He talked to the ones who dropped out first, and he asked them, why did you leave? And they said, well, you know, my car broke down and going to school became really hard. I had a family health issue and I had to go take care of my parents. I had a childcare problem. And these are all legitimate, true challenges that people ran into. And then we said to these students, what do you think happened to your classmates who graduated? And they said, well, they didn't run into any of these issues. They got lucky. And then Eric went and talked to the students who graduated. And he said, what challenges did you run into? And they said, my car broke down, my parents got ill, I had childcare issues. And Eric was like, this is really curious. The challenges sound like the same thing. And what happened is those students, every one of those challenges was followed up with an and. My car broke down and I texted my classmate and asked her if she would give me a ride to school till my car got fixed and I'd pay for her gas. And so every one of those challenges was responded to adaptively. And so the idea came to us that what if the biggest thing that's preventing people from graduating or overcoming any challenge in life, whether that's work, healthcare, family, is that they don't know how to get past it, and so they're scared, and they don't reach out for help, and they give up? So I know I've been talking a lot. So that's really the genesis of Get Set, that whatever challenge you run into, most of us, whatever challenges we run into are not rocket science, right? Obviously, as entrepreneurs, we have some real challenges that no one has done, but 99% of the challenges that we as entrepreneurs run into are things that other people have overcome. How do you deal with, like, your top employee quitting and moving across the country because somebody paid them 20 times as much, right? Those are problems that people know how to overcome. And if we can reach out and be connected at just that right moment in time with someone just like us who's relatable, who's credible, then we can say, I'm not alone. I'm not stupid. This is just part of the experience. And here's a model for what I need to do to overcome this challenge.
So, Sean, I look at you on this one because I think we both can relate to this in a couple of places, at least for me. went to journalism school.
That's right.
It's not cheap over there at Northwestern for journalism school.
Not at all.
When I went through Northwestern, I had the opportunity in the early stages of Northwestern to meet with some graduates and ask them, like, what are you working on? And the difference for me is that they weren't journalism students. They were people who came in through business. And so they're, you know, what they relayed back was pretty obvious, right? I mean, it was work as a brand manager for General Mills. That's pretty much what they all do, right? Or go to Kraft. So it seemed like that's an obvious one. Or does it guarantee that the degree is good? You can get a good job out of it. But journalism school, they didn't really want you to connect with anyone who was like a producer or random journalist. They wanted you to connect with like people who were on ESPN and were famous and well-known, at least for me. And so like when I went through it, I had no idea that the average person who came out was just going to have a ton of debt, no real job, like sitting there waiting for them. Like there was a whole bunch of stuff that I just don't think that they let us know about.
Yeah.
And so like I look at you, like your experience, like what could you have what would have helped you to know, or what kind of person could you have been put in touch with prior to deciding whether or not you wanted to even go to graduate school at all that would have changed things for you?
One of the messages that came to mind for me that I wish I had gotten that I didn't was that chasing your dreams can be a real nightmare. Like grad school, at least in my experience, they fill you up with a lot of esteem and hope and great expectations. Like you said, they show you the celebrities that went through the program and like, wow, I could be like them. But I don't think they really explored or showed you the dark underbelly. And I think that's part of the issue with going into college just in general, is that there isn't a lot of just like frank talk about how difficult life may be once you get to the other side. And when you don't get that message, it becomes very easy to feel like you are alone.
And I suspect that that's something that you guys deal with all the time, and you probably found out quickly was one of the main reasons why people are dropping out of school for you. And like you said, this is not just an education thing. But I just think that in entrepreneurship, as well as perhaps, and I'd love your commentary on this one. Do you mind if I ask how old are you?
I'm 33.
33. Same here. You're slightly younger, like a decade younger. but the bottom line is the quote-unquote millennial mm-hmm. has had a – not for me, and I'm not sure about you, but for me, I spent a lot of time with older folks growing up. I mean, I was always hanging out with older guys and girls, and I was always going to work with my dad and like spend time with people in board meetings. It was a different life. But the average millennial spent very little time getting direct feedback, mm-hmm. very little time with people who were maybe going to, you know, lead that path before them. So when they come out, there's just this expectation of a trophy. Mm-hmm. And the first time you get into this position, you're like, well, wait a minute, I have to start at the bottom? And there's depression, and there's feeling of like, I'm alone, I'm going to fail. Mm-hmm. There's feelings of like, you're not good enough, and like all this other stuff that I think is a generational thing. I think previous generations literally watched their folks come home
right.
from a job and piss and moan about their work and getting promoted and demoted and whatever. We saw it.
Yeah.
Our generation, we really didn't see much of that. And I feel like that's why we come into this world sort of like very green behind the ear.
Right. I actually think social media plays a really damaging role in this, because social media is a place where we present this like curated perfect image of ourselves. Like, look at me, I'm having champagne Sunday
brunch. Or utterly
brunch.
False image of ourselves.
Right, yeah. And so what social, like we jokingly call it the success iceberg, right, is if you meet someone who's successful, you kind of, what you see is like, okay, well, they're successful and they've made it. But what you don't see is what's under the water, the pain, the sweat, the tears, the failure, the number of times they said, oh my God, I'm not sure I can do this anymore. And I think what social media does is it takes a natural human impulse and it kind of concentrates it. And so one of the things that we seek to do at Get Set is to create a safe place to fail, because there's really no other social media. Like if you think about it, like on the spectrum, Instagram might be the worst, right? Which is just like images.
Look at
of,
how gorgeous I am.
Yeah. Or look at like I'm flying first class, or yeah. I'm eating this meal that's like $300, right? So I think that one of the reasons that Get Set is finding real success is I think that students really want a place where it's okay to say that I'm not good at something. Is anyone else here not good at this thing? Or did anyone else feel this feeling that I'm feeling right now of inadequacy, of like, how on earth am I going to get past this? And so what we've created is a place where the normal for them is that they read about challenges. So coming back to your point about expectation setting is, if you come into a school and you think that all of your classmates are doing great, because, yeah, you talk to them, but other than your couple of best friends, you don't really know how people are doing, right? You just see them on Facebook. They're like, oh, look, I got an A in this class. I got this awesome internship, right? And you're like, oh, man, why didn't I get that? But no one in that story told you about how much work it took to get to that internship. No one told you about, well, I took the wrong path at first and then I had to adjust. And so on GetSet, what we've done is a place where that's the normal. All you talk about on GetSet are challenges you've overcome and challenges you're encountering right now that you want help with. And that is literally the only kind of thing that exists on GetSet. It's not about what's the best place to get pizza on campus. We're never going to compete with all the existing forms of social media. But we are the first and only place where it's okay to screw up. It's okay to talk about what you're not good at. And a lot of what helps students is to just become help-seeking, to be okay with saying, all right, so I've been here for 4 weeks. I haven't made any friends at school. I'm feeling really lonely. Has anyone else been in this place? And then 15 people respond to that student, say, man, I totally felt that way. I joined this club, and then I finally made some friends. Or, you know, I realized that there were these groups that I could, you know, meet people with similar interests, and this is how I made friends. So those are the kinds of things that are happening on GetSet that are really powerful.
So I wanted to ask a little bit, like, on the more tactical side. So you talk about the community part, and then afterward, mm-hmm. like, how does it actually, how do you pair, what would I get out of it? Like, do I actually get paired with a real student who then I spend time with? Mm-hmm. Or is it a place to where there's, like, information and I can find it and we can reach out and socially, like, on a social platform, we can communicate? What it says on here, you also kind of work with, like, with professors and teachers to sort of make you feel more empowered.
Right.
How does it actually work in real life?
Yeah, great question. So it's more the latter in terms of what you were describing. I mean, we definitely facilitate real life interaction.
Sure.
But one of the things that I think schools have good intentions, so they created all these mentorship programs. But one of the things that's really challenging about mentorship is it doesn't scale. What if you got matched with the wrong mentor? And it's really formal. It's like, you know, you're my mentor.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what if I have a problem that you haven't dealt with before? And I think as you think about, like, how students today consume information, your phone is your first stop for everything. So if I have to, like, call my mentor and say, hey, can we get coffee? And then, like, 4 days later, I might have already dropped out. I might have already given up on myself.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing that we try to do is at that very moment of crisis, at that point where a downward spiral could begin, our goal is to tell the student, whoa, 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 hold up. You're not alone. Here are 12 people who've run into that issue. Hear their stories. Who do you want to connect with?
So they go on the platform and just post that they're like, this is what's like.
Or they can search.
So, or you can just search through it. So it's like
because we've
Ask
already
Jeeves
got,
before Ask Jeeves blew up.
Exactly. So there are hundreds of thousands of these authentic, relatable stories. And one of the things that we've gotten really good at is understanding what kind of story is going to resonate with you, right? Like, some students like short stories. Some students like long stories. Some students like stories that are literally like bullet points. Like, I had this happen. I did X, Y, Z. I got an A. Boom. Some students love that, like, just, okay, I want a checkbox. And other people love the really emotional stories, which are like, I got a D. I felt miserable. I played video games till 5 a.m. I, like, my roommate hates me
now. So far,
your
kids in college are really well-behaved. I have to tell you, they're all like, studying and doing video games clean, and they're, like, going to group parties, pizza parties. I had to make it's, but it's true. I mean, and I make a joke, but ultimately, like, one of the main things, I think, from my own group of friends, that why they dropped out, those that did, other than the ones that, like, dropped out for a good reason, was because I had a hard time acclimating socially. And I feel like that's one where, you know, that's a problem we have here, like, mm-hmm. not in the student spot, but in the entrepreneurial world, where we try to have all these mentor things, and I don't have your background. I don't have your life. Yeah. Like, I'm not like you. I'm not socially like you. So, like, you're not going to help me. You're not, like, it's thank you, but, like, that doesn't mm-hmm. help me. What you're putting together is sort of a background blind. Like, I'm telling you the story, take it for what it's worth. And that enables me to, like, kind of look for what I'm looking for and not be paired with someone who's like, well, you should do it this way.
Exactly. And one of the things that we're really big on, which I talk about a lot, is schools have good intentions, but universities have spent so much time and money trying to match people based on demographic factors. And I actually think it's really detrimental.
Yeah.
So, you know, just because of my ethnicity or gender, if you say, well, Curran, this is the person you're going to work with. Well, are you telling me that the challenges I run into are because of how I look or where I'm from? It's much more authentic to say, well, whatever challenges you run into are normal to all people. They're part of the experience. And when you realize, like, you know, whatever challenge that is in life, your first job, becoming a parent, dealing with health issues, if you feel like that issue does not have to do with where you were born or what you look like, and you feel like this is a humanity issue, that there are lots of people like me who have that issue, all of a sudden it doesn't seem as daunting. And all of a sudden you say, well, now I'm going to connect with people that are relevant to me.
Yep.
Right? And so we very quickly learn Do they care if the person has the same major as them? If they do, then we'll show them people of the same major. But a lot of students don't really care which major, you know, social issues don't have to do with that. And a really important data point along the lines of what you said is 88% of freshmen who dropped out in America were passing every single class they were in. That is just a mind-blowing number, and that gets bigger every later year. So for sophomores, it's like 91% of sophomores who drop out are passing all their classes.
Which is funny because that kind of goes to your point about social media, that the average person believes that if you dropped out, if my neighbor's kid dropped out, they flunked out. And they don't even say they drop out. They just say, oh, yeah, they blew out, they flunked out. They, you know, I say they shit out, but you know, that's my own personal version of it. Sean, how would you have used this? Do you feel like this would have been a tool to be helpful for you?
Yeah, to that point about grades and stuff, I think about my hardest times initially in my first 2 years were freshman year, where grades were going fine. I was doing well in all my classes. But, yeah, it was that social acclimation part that was the most difficult. It was where I couldn't find my tribe. That took a while to find the circle that I felt where I belonged. I was mixing with these other groups, and it was like I just was homesick. I was sad. I didn't feel like I was fitting in. I was feeling I was making the wrong choice. But, like, sophomore year, my grades were going down. I was having too much fun, and I didn't want to leave school. But I felt like going into school, there was this total lack of guidance. And I'm with you on I didn't want to go to the school for mentorship or help because it seemed too stiff, too regulated, and too overly formal. So I would have liked a peer to just tell me that, like, oh, yeah, you know, your experience isn't weird. This is normal to experience these things. I didn't have that. That was missing in my experience. So that's what makes me excited about what you're doing with this project.
Very cool. Well, we have to wrap up here, but I would love to kind of know, where do people sign up for this? How do people get more involved in it? Where do people go to actually have this platform work for them?
GetSet.com. Come sign up. Come reach out to us. Let us know how we can help you.
How in the hell did you get GetSet.com?
And had to pay $25,000.
Okay, but, I was going to say. Yeah, I was going to say.
There it is.
Because that's a pretty amazing, very important. Domain is important. Yeah. Very cool. Thank you so much for coming in here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Take care.
You can watch this episode and more and at technori.com. You can download the podcast on iTunes, and you can stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon, or follow Sean at Freilich Sean. Boom, that's a wrap.